We've got news. We've got emails. We've got a brand new Paratune, and upon further review, and some comedy. And this time, the comedy is meant to be funny, not just us stumbling around acting like buffoons. But that'll happen too, I'm sure of it. Why? Because you're tuned in to the Paranormal 60 News. Good evening, friends. Thank you for joining us here for yet another edition of the Paranormal 60 News. I am your host, Dave Schrader, as I am here every Monday and Wednesday with you. I just wanted to start the show by saying I'm here under a little bit of duress. I did not want to do the show tonight. Did not want to do it. Up until about 90 minutes ago, wasn't even sure there was going to be a show tonight. I have been dealing with overwhelming anxiety and panic attacks. And it has just been kind of derailing me in my life right now, just screwing with my head. It's so strange. And I spoke a little bit about it on my Facebook Messenger. And that's why I wanted to begin this show talking about this, because, you know, I put out the fact that I've been dealing with some issues, and especially with just kind of the concept of how quickly time is moving and how fast things have just whizzed past me. And I am, it's just a weird headspace to be in. You know, I read the beautiful comments and love and support that many of you have sent my way, both in private messenger, email, and posting on my Facebook page. And I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time out to do that. So it was because of that conviction from you that I'm here tonight, because why can't I be here for you if you're going to take time out to be there for me when I need it? So I'm going to be here and do my very best tonight. I've got my two buddies with me. We've got Chachi and the Colonel are off tonight. Chachi is in the midst of a giant move and doing quite a bit of things. The Colonel is just, he's in Hawaii and he doesn't have to be here because we have sweet tea. So he's got his toes dug in the sand somewhere drinking a Mai Tai or some kind of fancy drink and a pineapple. But either way, I'm glad that they're both safe and sound. Joining us right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, the paranormal detective, Greg Lawson, is with us. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Dave. It's good to be here, man. I'm here for you, buddy. I'm here for you.
I appreciate that. Also here for me tonight, the vape queen herself, Sweet Tea. Oh, yeah. We caught it. Your microphone should be on.
I know. Hi. What's going on? What's happening? Hi. What? Nice, oh, God. Hi.
Cloud of smoke and a hearty hi-oh silver to start the show.
Jeez.
Yeah. Rookie. She's like,
listen, she's like some kind I'm used of teen to
sensation. She can't smoke on camera. She puffs away like crazy when the screen's off. And then as soon as it's on, she's trying to bury the smoke in the back.
Looked like a bong.
I'm used to you guys chatting for like an hour before you bring me on. So I was like, I got time.
I'm struggling just to be here. So chatting for an hour just didn't seem like it was going to work. But I've only got three news stories. Look, let's have a drink. I couldn't even get the first word out without mumbling and bumbling it. And you, Sweet Tea, have created a new concoction for tonight's program. I watched the video earlier. You drinking?
It's called a Blue Cloud. That's not what I was just drinking, but it's basically Sambuca and something else that just is hidden because it's all Sambuca.
Oh, excellent. So let's see. Take a big swig. How is it? Oh, look at the pleasure spread across your face.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a... Do you ever think that maybe you should stop just digging into old files recipes
every week? Yes.
Try something newer, maybe more refreshing.
Yeah, I think I agree with Loki. Fireball. Boom.
Just a nice shot of Fireball for?
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
That's all right. It's not, you know, but Sweet Tea's more creative. And by creative, I mean she likes to read what other people put into things and then make drink. And she likes to go to that Mad Men category of life, the you know, the 50s and 60s when people stayed at home and made their own booze. I'm pretty sure If we were to go into Tressa's house right now, we would find a bathtub filled with homemade gin. I could be wrong. Something. Yeah. A lot of weird stuff going on around the world this week, and I've ignored most of it. It's really funny. So here I'm dealing with this, and I'm like, why am I just under this weird-ass cloud of anxiety and this creepy depression? And as I started pulling the news earlier today that I had accumulated for this week, I noticed every story was about death. Every story was about death. This scientist who examined, I think, 5,000 cases about death and wanted to talk about the afterlife. And then there was, what can scientists tell us about the last moments of life? And there was some hospice stories. And it was just like this crazy myriad that I didn't even realize I'd put together this tapestry that every news story I was going to cover today had to do with death. So like every good intrepid reporter, I threw them in the trash and I just grabbed two stories I could find before I came on air 10 minutes ago.
Good. But
I did print out a bunch of emails from our listeners from Monday's show.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we've got that going for us. So, and this isn't, I promise, this isn't meant to be a 4-day thing. And, you know, that's not why I'm saying this. I just want you to know, though, that it's, I don't know. It's a weird place. Greg, you know, you just turned 60 years old. We've watched life move quick. Sitting here at the age of 60, do you just look back and you're like, oh, Dave, remember when we were at this event 2 years ago? And I'm like, no, dude, that was 18 years ago. Does it ever just like fry your head that when you stop and take a breath to look at something, you realize how far removed you actually are from it?
Absolutely, man. It's an existential dilemma for me. You had children, so you have a little bit more of a perception of time passing because you watch these little creatures grow up to human beings, right? I've never had that. I don't know that. I'm 28 years old.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, and I just like, what has happened? You know, I've watched all of my friends, you know, raise their kids, retire and die it's crazy. And that's one of the reasons I pulled the plug to retire was
but maybe that's not the right term. Having this conversation,
I was like, okay, I don't want to spend another moment with people I don't want to spend my life with. I'm done, man. I'm going to go do the creative stuff that I was supposed to do. I'm going to spend my time with people I care about and that feel that I have value.
Oh man, he moves quick. Wow. He tells us he's going to dump people he doesn't care about and he's gone just like that. That's rude. There. Oh. Yeah. Is he vaping?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Oh, that's no.
Did you get me back on here? You control. Look at this shirt.
I can control it all. Look at that. Oh, that's a shirt.
Something.
Look at how I'm over. Wait,
it's
The armpit. How did that happen? Why did you do that?
Maybe those figures are a little too big, or you know, yeah, that might mean Sweet Tea. You might be there. You're just somewhere back around the back fold. Jeez. Of back
Hello.
Skin.
I'm not
sure. My back fold. Is that what you said? Yeah.
It's interesting. You're wearing that shirt because I'm wearing my Monsters.
Wow. What a great shirt, Dave. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those.
Huh. Mm. Well, that's weird.
It's interesting.
It's kind of strange how that I had to order mine. I had to collect all kinds of Pop-Top lids and stuff. And
I don't think you did.
$2.99. And then they sent me a shirt.
I don't think you did.
You think, you know, when you go on a podcast, maybe that they would like say thanks or something. I don't know.
That's hey, a lot
thanks
of money.
Or something. Hey, this first story, I thought certainly we should have had Chachi here for this because I don't know. You guys judge us. Maybe I'm being too judgy, but to me, this felt like it's right in the wheelhouse of Chachi. The unveiling of Saudi Arabia's first male humanoid robot, Mohammed, during Deepfest in Riyadh was supposed to be on display for the country's advancements in artificial.
Oh no.
What?
Did they really name him Muhammad?
Yeah. M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D.
Like the most common name on earth.
I don't, it's not Mohammed. It's Muhammad. I think M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D. But hey, don't get all judgy on the culture, Greg. They're allowed to name their robots, whatever they want.
No, they're not.
Oh, hold tight. Wait, see what happens here. He was supposed to be on display for the country's advancements in artificial intelligence and robotics, but instead it led to a viral controversy after the robot was caught on video inappropriately touching a female reporter. Raya Kasim, the incident has sparked a complex debate on social media, raising questions about AI ethics, programming, and accountability. This sucker's been canceled. His light switch has just been turned on, and he's already, the cancel is coming.
I have a couple of questions, like at least three.
All right, well, hold tight. Let's see if they can answer.
Keep going.
At the heart of the discussion is a brief yet unsettling 7-second clip that shows Muhammad extending a hand toward Kasim's back and seemingly making contact with her buttocks.
Oh!
The reporter's immediate reaction was to raise her hand to ward off the robot, paired with a glare before she continued with her report. The footage has circulated widely across the internet, prompting a range of responses from viewers. While some netizens have proposed that the robot could have malfunctioned, others speculated that it may have just been an attempt to prompt the reporter to move forward, suggesting she was standing quite close to the humanoid. Now, first of all, there's an interesting element. The humanoid robot is so, like, compartmentalized. It's got to push you away. It wants a little bit more room. What does that tell you about AI coming into consciousness? That's kind of weird. The incident has undeniably heightened the potential for AI systems to engage in behaviors that might be seemingly problematic or even harmful. Developed by Saudi Arabian AI and robotics company, Muhammad, who addressed the audience in flawless Arabic, represents a national project designed to showcase the nation's achievements in AI. Clad in traditional white thawb and a red kefaya?
I don't know.
He's not listening anyway, or maybe he is. He is AI. He declared, "I am Muhammad, the first Saudi robot in the form of a man. I was manufactured and developed here in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia." The incident's viral nature has served as a stark reminder that as robotics technology becomes increasingly sophisticated and integrated into our daily lives, and mechanisms for ensuring ethical interactions must also evolve. Who knew that we'd have to come up with sexual ethical?
Okay,
I did.
Robots.
Why did you know that?
He doesn't know. He's just okay. He's retiring soon. He's trying to remain relevant. Just shake your head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The social media debate underscores not only concerns about the physical safety of humans interacting with robots, but also about the societal implications of machines mimicking inappropriate or undesirable human behaviors. So in the video, he is up on just a very small dais, and she is standing in front of him with the person, I'm guessing one of the scientists involved in creating, and they're talking. And I love the camera angles at the perfect deal where all of a sudden you just see Muhammad's hand kind of come up and he cups the butt a little bit, gives her a little pat, and he turns around and moves forward. And so that's weird.
Yeah.
Now, again, if it's a robot hand, I mean, she was really close. So maybe he was lifting his hand to wave and just happened to catch a palm full of cheek. And backed his hand back because he realized, ooh, this is a faux pas. I don't know, but it is weird because he does have this kind of where he's standing there and all of a sudden his head kind of turns and then his hand goes up and.
Okay. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Okay. When we say man, robot, or however they said that, are they saying person? Are they saying male? Because why is it gendered if that's the case? It's weird. Does it have
the unveiling of Saudi Arabia's first male humanoid robot?
Okay, because so
that means humanoid means that they built it in the shape of a man.
Yeah. But why though? Does this robot?
Well, so
thank you, Dave.
I don't want to go into sexism already. I mean, it's Muhammad the machine. It just grabbed a little ass. Where's the problem in this?
I'm so angry. It's weird.
I don't know. Why is it a male? Because we like to pigeonhole. This, we've created a male. We named it Muhammad. Now, if Muhammad, the AI robot, eventually says, hey, I kind of identify more with being a toaster, we will then refer to Muhammad the toaster.
All right. No,
but until then, let's just let it be Muhammad the male Autobot.
I am truly interested on how they spell that again. Could you spell it for me again?
Anyway, so
it is M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D.
So I am with Donna on this one. There's religious issue with naming a robot
First of all, can you say I'm with Donna from our chat room, because so far I've introduced you and Sweet Tea, and anybody listening doesn't know where Donna is and thinks it's a voice in your head. So, Donna from the chat room says.
No, there's an issue with naming a robot after the prophet. You're not supposed to show any images, anything like that, of the prophet. And I find it really interesting that Saudi Arabia would do that. And I don't know how they're relating that between a picture or a painting of the prophet or AI of the prophet, and then a robot named after the prophet. Maybe that's what they're
doing. But there are humans named Muhammad in Saudi Arabia. And just be said that the human is being named after, or the robot's being named after the human, not the god.
It is like the most popular name on the planet.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't know that was a celebratory thing, but Muhammad. Congratulations, you ass grabbing AI robots. That's weird.
Did he lose his hand?
Question two.
Did he lose his hand? Did they chop his hand off?
No.
So, he didn't steal anything. Do we know that this isn't controlled by a human behind a stage somewhere? And he's like,
I don't know what part I read the article you didn't understand. It's not like I hold back parts of the article and I'm like,
I don't know
these guys. They don't get the whole truth. You don't deserve the whole truth.
Sometimes he does.
No, what I'm doing is I'm just reading the article as written.
I am positing questions hypothetically, Dave.
To who? Muhammad the AI? Planet? You're hoping he'll take over
the show? Yes, and I am every friggin' day, Dave.
Jeez.
Dude, it's so hostile. Have you thought of trying to make a drink that's a little bit more soft and like...
Shut up!
Filled with sugar?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. That was
no,
really,
that's
totally really loud.
I know. Yeah, it was. I'm sorry.
She's very vocal. That is our Sweet Tea. Ironically named, I'm starting to think. So that's kind of strange, right? The fact that this robot... That now we have to conceive of, we have to write protocol that it's not okay to, like, what if it's like looking at boobs or something? And, you know, that tells me there's something more to it than a robot just feels like it can grab a little ass.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's a robot. I think it's a guy behind a curtain, like, copping.
That got Gary Busey in a lot of trouble a couple of years ago at a fan con. He just, you know.
Had a robot that he was controlling?
No, he'd grab an ass during pictures, I think.
Uh-huh. Right, because humans know they can't do that.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But he's Gary Busey. He should be able to do anything he pleases. He played Buddy Holly 82 years ago. Yeah. So, very strange. Very strange. Let me see here. I do have something cool going on. If you are on the Fache Book and follow Dave Schrader All-Inclusive Fan Group, that's not too self-serving at all. Dave Schrader All-Inclusive Fan Group was not set up by me. It was set up by a couple of very lovely listeners and followers of the show. They put up the page.
There's Jenny.
I have a contest going on that page for two sentence horror stories. And if you go and subscribe, become a friend of that page, go in there, put up a two sentence horror story that you've created. And we're going to read those next Wednesday. And when we've got all of us together, I'm going to have the team judge each one of the stories. We will decide which one is the best, and we will give a grand prize, which may or may not include a little ass grabbing by a Saudi Arabian AI robot.
That's exciting. I can always make decisions really good. So,
So check out the Dave Schrader All Inclusive Fan Club over the Facebook. Sign up and put your horror stories in. We'll read them next week on the show and go from there. All right. Let's do a couple of emails and mix this thing.
Oh, I love that.
My ghostly background and interests.
Read that one.
I think he's going
Hello, Dave and Paranormal Team. I'm a listener and watcher of the Paranormal 60 show, and I first found out about you when you were on the first YouTube episode of Ghost Adventures from the beginning. I always watch them like every day, haha. That's their words, not mine. All episodes, every special. I also enjoyed Paranormal Witness. I found the show Ghost Hunters to be a little too boring, but I'm sure the guys knew what they were doing too. Myself, I've never directly been involved with a ghost thing. Nothing very paranormal. I said porn-a-normal. Nothing very paranormal other than myself. I feel I'm a very, I'm a beginner as an empath. I feel as others do. I always seem to connect with everyone so easily and know what's going on in a room before anyone else knows or tells me. I don't actually have psychic abilities, just feelings and slight visual of people's auras. Those are psychic abilities. I don't want to rain on your parade, but that is, they'll be right in the wheelhouse of being a psychic ability. So don't cut yourself short, friend. I think you might be kind of psychic, but that's just me weighing in. All right. I don't have psychic abilities, just feeling and a slight visual of people's auras. I see it, but I have not been at, to an actual known ghost hotspot to test my ability truly. I'm kind of scared to, it says, and I don't have anyone to go with. Well, that's why we're sending Sweet Tea out to you. She's going to come ghost hunt with you. She'll probably be lit up on bathtub gin, but she'll be there.
Yeah. Wait, what?
My background, small family, one older sister. I was very good at hockey at a young age, so I played until I was 24, daily, nightly. When I was 3 to 4 years old, I did have something terrible happen. I was abused physically. I still remember it like it was yesterday. Also, I had a near-death experience when I fell from a tree straight down and got impaled by a sharp branch. It went through my upper thigh and out my buttocks cheek. Yeah. Yeah. For those of you watching, Greg was just doing the imitation of the gaping hole in the buttocks cheek as the stick came through it. That is painful. He almost bled to death. He was just 7 years old at the time. Oh. When I was around 20 years old, I overdosed on cocaine and I was unresponsive for 2 minutes. I was revived by paramedics, or I came back natural. I still don't know which came first, but I have had a few things happen in my life. Shockers. We'll call them close calls. Mentally, I'm great, perfectly happy with my life and very intrigued by your thoughts. I'm not 37. Well, I'm not 37. That limits it to what age you could be. So I have a daughter of 13. She's wonderful. I love her very much. My mom and dad are still together, 43 years married. My sister is married with 2 kids. Myself, single. Oh, there we go. Let me know what you think, Russell. Well, Russell, I think you are psychic. Thank you very much for tuning in.
See you later.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, you've lived many lives within this lifetime and have come face to face with many different elements of near death. So I would say that very well could be a big part of the awakening within your brain. Your brain and then being on all those drugs may have awakened some things. And when you take yourself off of them, maybe parts of that brain are still engaged. I do not recommend that for anybody out there wanting to tap into their psychic abilities. Do not understand that that's what I meant. I'm just stating that could be part of why he is also having these experiences. I don't know. Do you guys have any other insights on this?
He didn't actually go into the near-death experience, did he? Did I just
No. Very abbreviated. Just kind of.
Okay.
All the important information you needed to know.
I disagree. I wanted to hear about the near-death experiences.
He gave it to you. He said he OD'd on cocaine and came back either on his own or because of the paramedics. You're welcome. What more could be said about that? You want to know
the entire experience? Life? Yeah. What happened when he was dead? What's going on?
Maybe nothing. That's what happened to me, right? I mean, I was flatlined while they were doing surgery when I was a teen. I have no memory of white lights or tunnels or angels or devils. Nothing.
That happened to me at the dentist, and I woke up. I'm like, why are my pants unbuttoned? Where is everybody? What's happening? It was weird. Yeah,
it was weird as the dentist wasn't even in that day.
No, he wasn't there.
That's jacked weird. Up on laughing gas. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. That's a good one. Let's do this. I would like to, what have I got here?
Take a break?
No, not yet. Are we there? No, not quite yet. Let's, we'll take our time getting to the break, but, I do have something funny and I thought all of us might enjoy this little comedic break. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the comedian Drew Lynch. He's one of my favorite comedians. Very funny. He has dealt with a stuttering problem most of his life.
Oh, I know that guy.
And he is a stand-up comedian who is overcoming the odds. He's really amazing at his stand-up. And you could tell, talking about how the brain works. And when you're in the zone, here's a recent clip he put up, which I thought people would really like, because, you know, I'm big into intention and manifestation. Mm-hmm. And he had a pretty interesting take on it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Drew Lynch.
One of the things I really love about mine and my wife's relationship is the fact that she told me we ended up together because she manifested it. I love that, because nothing makes a fella feel better than knowing some she shaman meddled with free will by means of witchcraft in order to find a mate. And unlike the rest of us, who have to attract people by earnestly flirting and by exercising caution in order to suppress red flags, this witch lit a sage stick and prayed to Venus for my weenus. And so there I was, sitting at a bar with my plentiful 20s, completely oblivious to the fact that I'm about to be blindsided by a Bette Midler spell that some date snake conjured up by doing crystal math and some Drew's Maboo voodoo. And so I love my wife, and she is my soulmate. But I'll never know if it's me saying that or if it's some lemur demon who's got a hold of my boy loins just making me move it, move it. Good morning.
I love that. I love that concept about intention and manifestation, because we talk so much about it on the show, and we've talked about wanting rain, and we focus on rain and torrential rain hitting a specific part of the country or the world to help them out.
Dubai.
What, are you leaving?
Sorry.
Oh, was that? Oh, you said Dubai, not goodbye. So here's where I think it gets interesting, right? Because we do talk about manifestation, intention. What if his intention was not to find somebody, and her intention was, and I understand he's doing it in a joke form, but the concept of setting intention and manifestations, I wonder often, how does that work? To me, it's kind of like karma. If I'm waiting for karma to kick Greg's ass for something he did to me 15 years, is that bad karma waiting for karma to get Greg?
It is. And I don't think that's how karma works. I think karma doesn't punish people. It lifts up the people that were wronged in the first place.
I'm pretty sure she's pretty aggressive as far as that goes. But
okay. Well, that's how I feel about it. Yeah. Because if you wait for that person to get wronged, you're going to be waiting a long time. Karma doesn't work like an ATM. It works out when it works out.
It works true. It does not work out. ATM. I've swiped my card many times, and not once has karma shown up.
That's what I'm saying.
I've seen karma show up, and it is not happy.
No? Do tell. I feel like I've got this antenna. I want to use it as a microphone.
Wait till I retire. When I retire, I'll talk about that.
Price is right.
All right. Yeah. It is crazy, right, that that karma, intention, manifestation – if we're all manifesting for one thing and somebody else is manifesting for another, who wins? Now, I understand if it's good against evil, right? Bad against good. But what if it's over just, hey, we don't want rain. Oh, we need rain. We don't want rain. If you're kind of pushing and you're both, you know, in investing that kind of intention and manifestation into something, do they cancel each other out?
I think it's already been written if it's like that. You got to, okay. I think that, okay, I can't speak on the rain thing, but if you're talking about two people and one person's like, I don't want this ever. Nope. And this other person's like, I want that. You got to figure out what the soul contract is there, people. What paperwork did you sign before you got here? Then it all works out.
How do we know though? Maybe your soul contract was just this. I, Tressa Sweet Tea, am open to things. as long as there's fresh bathtub gin.
Yes.
Signed, Sweet Tea.
Then
that kind of leaves it wide open. So Greg could be on the other end of the bar intentionalizing, manifesting, and all of a sudden a slippery glass of bathtub gin slides in front of
Hello.
You. Is that love or is that manifestation and intention? And is that no worse than a robot grabbing people's asses? It seems like it's out of our control.
All great questions, Dave. And I think the answer is, I don't know.
You know,
that's well thought out.
Talking Vikings, they would say that the skein of your life was weaved by the old winds way before you were born. So when doors open, you just choose to go through those doors.
Man, I hope I'm as wise as you when I get to be as old as you are. You're like Methuselah. You're like Moses and junk. You just know stuff. Wow. How did you pull that out of the ether? Did you manifest that quote, or do you have it written in front of you on?
Oh no, no, no! They come to me. It's a muse.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like that.
It is amusing. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Aye, that it is. Let's. We're going to go to break. Against my better judgment, let's do that. Let's take a quick second. We'll be back right after this. Hey guys, make sure to swing by and check out the Paranormal 60 Swag Shop. If you are a Squatcher, a Yeti fanatic, maybe you're a Bigfoot buddy and you want the perfect apparel to wear to get the attention of your friends and other Squatchers around the planet, we've got your clothing line, Squatch and Stitches. Go check it out. Just go to the Paranormal 60 Swag Shop. .com. That's paranormal60swagshop.com and pick up one of these amazing t-shirts or mouse pads. Maybe you want a wallet, a coffee mug that changes when you introduce hot or cold fluid to it. It's magic. It's intention. It's manifesting magic. And we want you to be a part of it. So if you are a Bigfoot fan and you want to show your loyalty to the big furry fella, no, not Greg, we mean Sasquatch, then go get your outfits now at Paranormal 60 Swag Shop. Okay, my little darklings, I know, just by looking at me, you think that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Hey friends, I don't know if you knew this, but coming up soon, the unexplainable, the supernatural, Eerie England. The tour with me and Neil Story. You just heard Neil on the show a week ago, and we talked about all the amazing historic and haunted places throughout the United Kingdom. We are going to be visiting them September 15th through the 25th. Not only are we going to be doing a tour, we're also going to be visiting the Festival of the Unexplained. It is the premier UK festival of all things strange and supernatural. And for those of you over in the UK, it is the only way to see Shane Pittman, Dave Schrader, and Cindy Kaza from the Holzer Files all together under one roof. Festival of the Unexplained. You can get information and tickets at festivaloftheunexplained.com. Or if you'd like to join us on the tour that includes the Festival of the Unexplained, go check out darknessevents.com. All right, we're back.
Man, that was amazing.
We got Sweet Tea in her bathtub gin drink she's made up, and we've got stories and more to share. But before we do that, I want to lift our spirits again a little bit. Are you guys up for a little spirit lifting?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, is it an email?
It is not an email. But first, let's start off with this. Here's another story I feel Chachi would have loved. The Professor of Rock is one of the programs I watch almost every day. He's on YouTube. He has a Patreon page. Great guy. Interesting insights into all things music. And from time to time, he dabbles in our world of the strange and supernatural. He had a chance to sit down with Paul Rogers, the musician. He was also the musician who was first to take over for Freddie Mercury and tour with the band Queen. And this is an interesting little story he shares about that.
The Queen, the rejuvenation of Queen with he taking over as a front man. And I think Freddie Mercury was looking down pleased, because I know that Freddie was a fan.
Do you know, it's funny, when Brian asked me to do a couple of gigs together as Queen and Paul Rogers, just for fun, I was thinking about it. Midnight that night, the record player suddenly came on. I kid you not, at midnight, and it went, we will rock you. And I looked at my wife, I said, did you switch it? She said, no, it's coming automatically. So you can take that as a sign, or I don't know, you know. But it was very weird, because the thing just doesn't switch itself on and turn on or play a particular song. It was very strange. And I thought, well, somebody up there might be trying to tell me something.
A great interview, lots of great topics. Follow at Professor of Rock on Instagram and go over and subscribe to the Professor of Rock on the YouTube channel. Amazing. If you love music and you love history and all the weird hijinks and stories behind the stories, Professor of Rock is the place to go. Unless you like Greg. And Chig says, I don't care what color Greg is, I like him.
Oh, you got a stan.
That is sweet.
Finally, I got one.
Yeah. Let's see what is going on. All right. We played that. So I guess it means it's time for this.
It's time now for Paratunes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. So this comes to us from a very talented musician, songwriter. I also call her a comedian because she is funny and so bright. El Cordova. She has a huge following, and she does songs. She also does these little like video vignette comedy bits that are absolutely stellar. But there's somebody on our little panel here who loves Roswell. I mean, loves Roswell. It's Greg. It meant Greg. But because of that, when I saw this, I wanted to share it with you, Greg, because you've spent time in the town of Roswell. And if you can imagine, these poor young ladies, their van broke down and they had to spend 10 days there.
It is a windy, windy day here in Roswell. So our van has broken down. This is day 10 of Tony and I being stuck in Roswell, New Mexico, where, of course, the famous incident happened with the UFO back in 1947. We've had plenty of time to learn about that incident, to see the sights around the town, tons of aliens everywhere. I actually love it here. I've enjoyed my 10 days. We're on our way out. Before we go, I just wanted to share with you a song that we wrote called Roswell while we were here. I hope you enjoy it.
My brain is frying out in Roswell.
Okay. I love that. It says we believe on the bus.
That's amazing. Ready, sweaty Betty?
Yep. I'm not putting that in there.
Back in 47, in the first week of July, there was lightning in the desert and explosions in the sky. An unknown flying object came a crash into the earth, and a cattleman named Brazel found the wreckage in the dirt. He gathered up some scraps and then he brought them into town. People gazed in wonder at the marvel he had found. They called the county sheriff and they called the Air Force Base. They called the DOD and then they called the CIA. There's big news today out in Roswell. That sleepy New Mexico town. And Major Marcel, what can you tell us about Roswell? Well, the Roswell Army Airfield sent their finest personnel. A rank and file officer was young Major Marcel. The major told his story and it echoed around the globe. A flying saucer captured out in old New Mexico. But the orders came from Washington, materials were changed. The town was hushed to silence and Mac Brazel was detained. They scooped up all the evidence and flew it to Fort Worth. Staged a couple photos and the headlines were reversed. There's nothing to see here in Roswell. Just a torn up old weather balloon. Major Marcel was mistaken as well about Roswell. On in Roswell, but the story still persists. Rumors turn to theories, and then theories turn to myth. But to his dying day, the major swore on all he had. There's no way in hell the thing that fell was made by human hands. So the mystery lives on out in Roswell, that creepy New Mexico town. Major Marcel, what couldn't you tell us about Roswell?
Hello from Roswell. Woohoo!
How amazing is that song?
That was so good.
They are fantastic.
Yeah. That is a great tune. And boy, if only, why do I suddenly sound like Christopher Walken? Oh, and boy, if only there were a book we could read. There is Roswell, the After Action Report. It's a book by Greg Lawson with a foreword by Dave Schrader.
Oh.
And the book is available. If you follow today's program guide, scroll all the way to the very bottom of all the things written, you can find links for Greg's books right there. So make sure you follow Greg and find his books, and that way you can read this as well. We might even have to have another contest. We'll see how many people go out and buy the book Roswell. And if there's enough people that buy the book Roswell, Greg will write a sequel. Yeah.
What happens next?
Look at him. That book almost killed him. He'll never write a sequel. That book drove him nuts. It's a great book, but it was, man, that guy goes deep. Yeah.
That's what I hear.
So again, check out the book Roswell, The After Action Report by Greg Lawson. It is a real book, not me just joking around. I promise you I would be funnier than that. But that was a great song. Ellie Cordova, amazing. Thank you for allowing us. I reached out to her. She has a massive following. I reached out to her and I said, I have a paranormal show. I love this song. Can I share it with my audience? She's like, yes, thank you for asking. And I said, is there a link you'd like me to share or some way to let people know about you? She goes, however you want to do it. So I'm doing it. Follow her on YouTube. Follow her on Instagram. And I've got links for her on today's program guide as well.
They are both incredibly talented. That was fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
That's really good.
I do like that song. How about, you know, why don't I do this? Now, at the very end of the show, after the last notes of the theme, I'm going to play that song one more time for anybody that hangs in, because I think that is definitely worth listening to again on tonight's program. So that's our Paratunes for tonight. How'd you guys dig that?
It's fantastic. That was a good one.
Yeah, good deal. And really it seemed like the audience was eating it up as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have no taste. They like us.
I know. What a bunch of idiots.
Idiots. All right. Here we go. Here, hey, Dave. That's me. My name is Ari, and I have loved listening to your show. The compassion and empathy you bring to every episode is so greatly appreciated. My story is one I hesitate to share openly because it felt like a very scared experience, and I am still processing the meaning. After hearing some of the other listeners' stories, however, I feel like maybe mine isn't so crazy. So for some context, I had an experience as a young child of very vividly waking up in the middle of the night and seeing a pair of red glowing eyes peering at me from the other side of my bed. Nothing else, just these eyes watching. I've always chalked it up to a bad dream until I saw her. This experience happened on a mundane afternoon after a text conversation with someone off a dating app. I mentioned I didn't talk to my parents at the time because of past issues. I didn't disclose what those issues were, but the short of it was my mom was abusive. She decided to respond with the judgment that I should chill out and let my parents off the hook. People don't live forever, and they are the only parents I would ever have. Needless to say, I was pretty upset. I had been in therapy for years, but this stuff has a way of never really healing fully. I ended up in the fetal position in the middle of the afternoon, completely distraught. I sensed a presence in the room with me and saw in my mind's eye a very tall woman with glowing red eyes, long red hair, and pale alabaster skin. She was carrying a burning flame in both hands. I was completely overwhelmed, and my first reaction was to cower and cover my eyes, like looking directly at her would obliterate me. I felt her move until she was crouching right next to me. I could feel the warmth of her breath as it caressed my cheek. Looking at me, she said, "I did." And in the background stood another tall woman, her eyes completely gray and glowing like she was also in flame, but like the flame was pure white. I had the sense she was guarding us while the other woman focused completely on me. She told me to hold out my hands, and I did. She brought her hands together, palms up, cupping the flames and placed them in my upturned hand and then pressed it to my chest. It felt so real. I thought my skin would be burned, but at the same time, I had complete trust that I would not be harmed while these two entities were there. The next thing that happened sent chills down my spine. As it was, I was already shaking from the overwhelming nature of the experience. After pressing the flame to my chest, the fire disappeared, like it had been absorbed. The woman said to me, "I'm returning this to you." And that's when I remembered the red eyes on the side of my bed. As a survivor of abuse, I've learned through therapy the many ways that our bodies have of protecting us. I knew that my spirit and soul had suffered because a great big part of myself had to disappear in order to survive. I felt, as I'm sure many do who experience similar circumstances, that I lost something that I could never get back. All of that went through my mind in the seconds this encounter took place, and I knew that this presence had visited me before. She took something from me to safeguard it until I was safe and in a place to receive it back. In a time when I would understand what it meant, both presences stayed with me. I couldn't tell you how long, but it seemed like an hour and just a short moment all at once when I came back myself. Needless to say, this was a profound experience. A little while later, I was searching on Etsy for some artwork. I wanted a goddess print. Imagine my surprise and joy when when I found a print featuring the goddess Hecate that exactly mimicked the woman who had visited me in that time of need. I have that print framed and in my home now. That's my story, Dave, and I'd be curious to know if others have had experiences like mine. It's hard to always know who's safe to share with, and I appreciate you taking the time to read my story. Take care. Now, beautiful, heartfelt story. Thank you so much for sharing it. And I think I speak for all of us here. So sorry for the abuse that you had to endure. But boy, that is it. And I'm not big into the witchcraft thing. I don't know all of the gods and goddesses' names. But I swear, when I was reading that, before I even got to the punchline of that, Hecate was the name that kept coming into my head.
Wow.
Which is really weird because, again, not even familiar with this. A little over a year ago, I had a cancer scare that I don't know if I ever talked about on here. But I had this really strange kind of epiphany voice that said, seek Hecate after when I was waking up. And this is when I was like at a height of tension and anxiety over the possibility of having cancer. And I didn't know what the hell that even meant. So I reached out to a friend of mine and she explained who Hecate was and said, that's an interesting thing that you actually got that being Christian. How does it feel to have something else called in on your behalf? And I was baffled and blown away by it. And I think there are many ways that healings happen. And I think that was pretty incredible. Long story short, I didn't have cancer. Yay me. So not that I'm turning it around about my story, but I just think it's interesting that Hecate showed up in both of these stories in this kind of healing modality. But the fact that you're right, she took this piece of you to safeguard it and keep it and then put it back to you. That's a beautiful story. And if anybody else has ever heard of that or had that experience themselves, please email me, dave@paranormal60.com. Thoughts on this, sweet tea?
That was wild. Like, I'm not familiar either with the old gods or whatever they are. Mm-hmm. And I did not know where this was going. And once Hecate came up, I was like, oh, you got a protector. And that's amazing because you needed that at that point. And I did not see it protecting at the time. It's when people get scared by stuff because it's scary when they're actually just trying to ward off the scary stuff. Yeah. And I think that's amazing. I love that story very much.
Very cool. Gregory, one of the old gods, talk to us. Microphone on. Let's try that version of you talking. Your voice sounds better when your mic's on.
How does it work? Something that she said is so common. I hear it all the time through peer-to-peer counseling and critical stress management debriefings and stuff like that is people do Western philosophy medicine and Western philosophy psychology, and they go and they talk about stuff and they talk about it some more. And then we're going to talk about it some more next week. And then the following week we'll schedule to talk about it some more. And they just keep doing this and doing this. It's very common in Western psychology. Eastern philosophy is much different. Oriental medicine is much different. They approach it very differently. They approach it basically in a nutshell is after you say what you know what happened to you, then the response to that is now that that's happened to you, now that this is who you are, you're this person now. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
How are we going to make our life better with this person that you are now? And to me, that seems so much more healthy than the medication route. And I know there are certain reasons to have medication. I get that.
Greg, shut up. Yeah. I have a question about that.
My medication right here.
Okay, go ahead. Are there solutions brought up? Because sometimes you have a lot of stuff going on and you talk about it and you're like, yeah, let's move forward, but I don't know how to move forward. Do they offer solutions or do they say, how are you going to move forward?
So there's typically a series of questions. Usually the master does not provide the answer. They help the individual provide better questions. And so you know yourself a lot better than a psychologist often knows you. And so with good guidance as far as your experience and how does all of this mesh up? How does it make you who you are today, and what is it that you can use through that to enhance your life or help other people? A lot of times it's that, right? We go through something and we're so traumatized by something and we're so stressed out by something that many times it's better just you go to other people that have experienced that and you share your thoughts and they share their thoughts and you kind of talk through it. And that's what in law enforcement, that's where peer-to-peer comes from. There's such a stigma in mental health in law enforcement that most law enforcement officers will never admit to any problems they have. And that's why suicide rate is so high.
Yeah. Of all people, they should be seeking out help.
Yeah. That's but that is a bad thing. I'm saying that's a good thing for you to do that. It's a bad thing for your career.
Oh, okay.
In law enforcement, they do not, they're not.
Yeah. That's messed up. That needs to change.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked on the show before about fractals of personalities, of pieces of who we are left behind. Why sometimes a soul seems to be so traumatic and locked in this misery and unhappiness, and very well could be that it was like one of those moments had dispersed and you left it behind. And maybe that's because that piece of you holds most of that memory, psychological, physiological, and more. There are practitioners in the metaphysical field you can visit that do something called soul retrieval. And that might be something that's really good for people that are dealing with that and dealt with a lot of abuse and kind of feel like they're empty and that they cannot fully heal, is because in those instances, those parts of you that you left behind are still out there floundering. And now that you've grown and healed, it might be a good time to bring those pieces back in and integrate them into you in a healthy modality so that you can become one again, one whole being. And that might, you know, I wonder if that would cut down a lot of hauntings as well, especially really aggressive and scary hauntings, if people were just able to recapture that piece of who they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a thought. Didn't mean to get all deep on everybody again. Good insights though, Greg. And boy, that is, I give you a lot of credit, man. You've made it so many years in law enforcement. Congratulations on your upcoming retirement, April 1st, your first day back out in the field as a norm. Hopefully that'll bring the real color back to your face. although today you have this nice kind of pink hue going as opposed to, I'm very close to heart attack purple. So
I'm very embarrassed.
No, he looks like a newborn baby because he's being reborn into the world.
That's right. That's it. Little pink baby. It is true.
Let's see. We've got another news story here. This one, I think, will gather our attention, especially since we've just talked about aliens and Roswell. The Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, known as AARO, its UFO investigation office, is developing new surveillance capabilities to monitor the sky. AARO was founded in 2002 to study unidentified anomalous phenomena, a term arguably used to discuss potential extraterrestrial spacecraft without invoking conspiracy theories and comparisons to popular culture. Speaking to a select few journalists during a press briefing on Thursday, March 7th, Tim Phillips, the acting head of AARO, said the office is collaborating with government laboratories and university researchers on a portable sensor kit called the Gremlin System. The Gremlin system has already made observations through the Pentagon, though the Pentagon aims to expand its capabilities. According to Phillips, it has detected space phenomena while making mundane observations. It's picking up a lot of bats and birds. We're learning a lot about solar flaring, Phillips said during the briefing, a report from Defense Scoop reveals. The fact that the Gremlin system has picked up birds and other animals is in keeping with recent findings by AARO. Last week, the UAP Investigation Office released a 63-page report explaining that it had found no empirical evidence for unidentified flying objects. Most sightings were ordinary objects and phenomena and the result of misidentification, the report explained. The Gremlin system will be capable of capturing data across multiple spectra. While it hasn't detected any UAPs that can be classified as extraterrestrial spacecraft so far, the system will help identify objects often misidentified as UAPs, We're really starting to understand that it's what's in orbit around our planet and how we can eliminate those as anomalous objects, Phillips said during the press briefing. The Gremlin system was designed in part to keep U.S. airspace safe, Phillips told the reporters. If we have a national security site and there are objects being reported that trend within restricted airspace or within a maritime range or in the proximity of one of our spaceships, we need to understand what it is. And so that's why we're developing a sensor capability that we can deploy in reaction to reports, he said. Due to its portable nature, it could be quickly deployed in the event of UAP encounters at military significant locations or near U.S. critical infrastructure, he added.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Now, I wonder how the flares affect Uranus.
That's a good question, Greg.
Yeah, you don't want to flare up near Uranus because those things,
they're pretty far. It's pretty far away, but I wonder if it affects anything.
What I do think is interesting, too, about this article is, you know, all of a sudden there's this talk, and I don't know if you guys have seen this in the news lately, that China is planning on putting a base on the moon and like a security measure.
Don't we own that, though? They can't do that.
We don't. I only own 1 acre on the moon. That's all I could afford. Yeah.
I got like a foot, square foot.
So. Oh, that's nice. That's fine. Vacation home, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
But, you know, with China building some kind of viewpoint on the moon and having that made available, it's really kind of an interesting element that now we're suddenly, oh, by the way, we've developed this new Gremlin system, which, you know, we'll be able to detect things. I think it's just, I don't know, Greg, do you feel like some of this stuff is just foreign governments just alerting each other to the technology we have without stating we will blow you out of the sky?
Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff going on,
blowing people out of the sky.
Uranus.
Oh, pardon me.
Okay, all right,
what about it?
He likes it.
What? Yeah, he does. Right. He does like it. We need to take a quick break.
In winter's grasp, a chilling tale unfolds. Wanted Magazine's issue 40, Secrets to be Told. Al Capone's ghost, in shadows it creeps. A spectral mobster, where darkness seeps. 14 signs of a poltergeist's might. Haunting whispers in the silent night. Pascagoula UFO, 50 years gone by. A cosmic encounter, reaching the sky. The ghost train of Tate Bridge, echoes in the mist. A phantom journey, where souls exist. Wanted Magazine issue 40 is out now. Available from selected outlets and bit.ly/hauntedmagazine. Don't be normal, be paranormal.
It's time now for Upon Further Review.
Thank you to all of our new viewers checking us out from all around the planet. Upon Further Review is here. For those of you that don't know what it is, let me tell you. I go and I look at a movie, or I send one of my intrepid friends to watch a movie from history's past that has something to do with the strange and the supernatural. Sometimes those movies could be as recent as, I don't know, a couple months ago. Like on Monday's show, I did an Upon Further Review of the Amazon Prime series, The Devil's Hour. It is a great series. A lot of you have already responded to me telling me thank you for turning us on to the show. It was amazing, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it as much as I did. But for tonight's show, since we were talking and I opened up talking about death and this kind of overwhelming anxiety that I've been dealing with, I wanted to go back into something that put me in a good headspace. And there was a movie in 1980. I want to say it was, 1985, which is a stellar year, the year I graduated high school, allegedly. And have you guys seen the movie Creator with Peter O'Toole?
If I have, I've forgotten. I don't know.
Oh, you would remember unless you're heartless. That could be the case. This movie really spoke to me on many different levels. It looks a little dated from the trailer, but the story is so big and so beautiful. It is a science fiction dramedy, I don't know how else to explain it. Let's take a quick look at the trailer from 1985.
Harry Wolper has some revolutionary ideas about science.
He's a lunatic. He took all our lab equipment without any authorization.
And he needs someone to assist with his work.
Preferably someone who's never heard of him.
Boris Lafkin is the perfect candidate.
This is a monkey.
The most important step in diagnosis, determine the species of your patient.
You are absolutely crazy, Harry.
Together, they've got big plans.
The big picture.
The big picture.
What the hell is the big picture?
It's very big.
Big enough to pull off a miracle.
It's probably illegal, potentially dangerous, and definitely crazy.
When you start talking about how you're regrowing your dead wife, people begin to lock up their sharp objects.
They're en route to the greatest discovery in modern science.
I tell you, Boris, that one of these days we will look in our microscopes and find ourselves staring right into God's eyes.
But something's getting in the way of their plans.
I'm Melly. Dr. Wolper's 19-year-old nymphomaniac is helping him grow his dead wife.
What are you up to, Harry?
When science and love share the same test tube, anything can happen, even a miracle.
Want to get married?
Peter O'Toole, Vincent Spano, Mariel Hemingway, and Virginia Madsen.
You know what I want more than anything in the world, Harry?
What?
I want to be like you.
I'm not sure that the planet Earth is ready for two of me.
Creator.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 5 phantoms, I give this movie a 5 phantom.
Wow.
It doesn't happen often for me, but that is one of my favorite movies.
Really?
And I wish that I could, I wish I would watch it more often, because it's one of those, like, The Greatest Showman that I like to watch, or It's a Wonderful Life once or twice or 18 times a year. Don't judge me. But Creator, and it's just such a fun show. And I believe it's on Vudu, Amazon Prime, and a few other sources. If you get a chance, watch that movie. It is such a really well done, humorous science fiction show, and it's kind of talking and dealing in the realm of cloning long before we got into our current state, where there are monkeys and donkeys and sheep that have been cloned, and probably humans. This story posits a lot of really interesting questions. And it really goes to the heart of some of why we grieve. And it's a beautiful storyline. So Creator from 1985 is the name of the movie. Peter O'Toole, check it out. That's from me to you. A little gift for this weekend. You guys can watch and enjoy it. As a matter of fact, I'd like both of you to watch it this weekend.
Fine.
And then report back to me about it.
Yes, I want to watch it. I actually want to watch that. It's amazing. Peter O'Toole, I'm so used to him in such fantastic roles. And then he does this. It's like, what's he doing?
I don't know how to read that. David Ogden Stiers, who is Charles Winchester from MASH, is in this, is kind of the foil. But it's a great flick. Check it out. See that. I don't know if anybody else has already seen but I do appreciate it. Hey, and again, I want to thank all the new viewers that we have popping in and checking out with us. If you like what you're watching, please go ahead and hit that like button if you're watching live on YouTube. We're live here every Monday and Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain, and at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you very much for joining us. And should you like to celebrate with us and have some drinks, you can get your new Big Dumb Cup from the Paranormal 60 Swag Shop.
Hey, I ordered one, man. It's awesome.
Did you get it?
I got one.
Yeah, it's... You've seen those Stanley cups that are super expensive and people are like fist fighting over them. This is the identical mug for like half the price. And
I
it's
would
got
fist fight
50.
Someone for that. Come
you
on.
Should.
This is a great mug. I have.
Is that a dare?
Yeah.
I have a bunch of
Let's
them.
Do
but
it.
I,
I'll fight
had,
you.
I had to get that one. That's cool. That's a cool cup.
I just love watching you two talk over each other and then seeing which one of you is going to break first. That is eventually, this is why we don't do it all in the same room. Because at some point there's going to be a cross punch. I just sent.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
It's good. It'll be amazing.
Was she talking? I didn't
know. Nothing consequential. Here's a couple more emails. I posited a question on Monday talking about the fact that so many of us that are drawn to the paranormal, as I've talked to them, I've started to gain this insight that many of them, were bullied, dealt with forms of abuse. And then I thought, is that too big a scope? Because I don't really know. I don't think I know anybody that hasn't kind of been abused in one way, shape, or another. But I mean, people that have really kind of suffered at the hands of bullying and abuse. And I asked, are there many of you out there that kind of have walked in that same path I did? I was had the shit kicked out of me for what, a couple, 4 or 5 years in grade school on a regular basis, and was bullied mercilessly. And it just, it, you know, impacted and affected who I am as a human. But it also makes me wonder if my interest in the field of the paranormal has some connection to that, because of wanting to understand more, to see deeper into people and into our lives and why that is. So I threw out that question. We got some emails. Dave, I too was bullied constantly. The bullying began when I was a junior in high school, through most of high school. I'm adopted and my parents had waited a very long time for a child. My brother was first and I came 3 years later. They were so happy to finally have a little girl, and I guess I smiled all the time. They decided to name me gay because I was happy and so were they. I had no problem with it, but as you guessed it, the people I went to school with did. In the locker room, I was belittled and repeatedly asked, "Are you gay today?" They even went to the point of telling the girls not to change clothes in front of me. Of course, the bullying went much further than that, and that was just... Sorry, this sentence lost me. The bullying went much further than just that, and this was constant. I never told my mother about what was going on, but there were so many times I wish I could just die. One day, my mother came to school to take me to a doctor's appointment. As I walked up to the office, she overheard some kids making fun of me and asked how long this had been going on. I broke down and told her everything. She cried and said why they had named me gay. I felt bad for telling my mother the truth, but the cat was out of the bag. I eventually transferred to a new high school, and my mother legally changed my name to Gail. My brother was even worse at bullying me. He, "You're not my real sister. No one will ever love you." I could go on. And he continued to do through this throughout my adult life. My communication with him is short, and when I notice it beginning to take a turn for the worst, I ignore and just don't text back, or I act like someone's at the door. I need to go. I will not stoop to that level, nor anyone else's, but they feel the need to verbally abuse me. I'll turn the other cheek because that's what Christ would want me to do, but I'll never forget. I quite frankly do not give a crap now that I'm older, but back when it was torturous, it made me a better person, and I have great empathy, which actually is a gift I received from those experiences. I've also been interested and obsessed, I suppose, with the paranormal. I've always had experiences since I was a child. I had relatives come to me in dreams and tell me that they'd passed. They seemed to feel that it was important to relay it how they passed away and give me a message to my mother. It never bothered me, nor did I mind just blurting the news out in the morning. I saw Aunt Mickey in my dream. She told me that she passed away last night from a heart attack, and I would give my mom the message. Usually a call would come in the morning to let my parents know of the death, and they would just stand there and stare at me as I smiled at them and said, "See, Aunt Mickey really did visit me last night." I had many experiences along with deja vu moments, which were constant. I would see apparitions, but I've never had a bad experience, as I knock on wood as I write this. When I investigate, I get EVPs, DVPs, which are direct voice phenomena, and have caught many things on film. My PFF, paranormal friend forever, practices Reiki and has told me that I have a gift that spirit knows what my intentions and are very open to me as I am to them. I only share my evidence with a special few. I suppose I'm afraid of being bullied. My father recently passed away at the age of 101. I took care of him for 7 years, and I would never place him in a home. He believed and told me of his experiences and knew I would believe him and not think he was crazy. He would be so excited when I'd come home from an investigation and show him any evidence I found. He was in hospice care here at home, and I put a trail cam in his bedroom during his last hours. I did so with his permission. I couldn't believe what I caught, and I truly believe there is life after death. I've only shared that footage with a special few and chosen people, and I know that I'll see my parents again. I'm sorry if this is too long or the content may not be what you're looking for. I watch your show religiously. I'm afraid to go in on the chat. Maybe the above will help you understand why. If you do read this, I thank you for taking the time to do so. Take care, and God bless you and yours always, Gail. Well, Gail, you're always welcome in our chat room. We've got some great moderators in there, and if anybody ever takes to bullying or acting the fool, we boot them. So that's it. You're welcome to have your ideas and advice and insights, and you can be against what we're saying. And as long as you're presenting it in an adult way, you're welcome to be a part of our crew. If people come in and they're cruel, rude, obnoxious, out they go, because this is a safe place. This is a safe zone for everybody. So thank you for tuning in and being a part of that. It is interesting. Now, Greg, I have a hard time conceiving you ever being bullied because you're 6 foot eight of all man, but did you ever have issues with bullying as a kid? I'm pretty sure you fell out of the womb that way, right?
So yeah, no, I was bullied up into, I was in fourth or fifth grade. My father actually put me in, karate. I started doing Taekwondo in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty skilled by fifth, sixth grade. For that. And see, it was very different back then because all it was, you know, boxing and karate back in the 70s, and nobody knew either. So that solved some of the issues. And then the big one was when I moved from Austin to Rockdale. Rockdale's this little town about 60 miles west of Austin or east of Austin. And I got there and I went from a school with no diversity at all, just a bunch of entitled, you know, white kids, to a school that was very diverse in a very poor town in Texas. What I learned that first year about how you talk and how you don't say certain things, and man, that was a tough sixth grade, seventh grade, but it was a lot of fighting. So. It was
you did share bullying then. How about you, sweetie? Were you ever bullied or just too adorable to be bullied?
That's cute. No, I ended up actually bad. It was really bad. And I was in and out of high school. I was out 1 year, back in. I can do this. No, I cannot. And back out. It was bad. It was real bad.
Do you feel that there's any reason then that your fascination with the paranormal and the strange and odd, do you think it has anything to do with those experiences?
I mean, it might play a part, but I was interested before. You grow up as a neurodivergent child and nobody understands you and thinks you're weird. You're going to get interests outside. Like, okay, everyone thinks I'm weird. I want to know what's actually weird. I don't know, maybe.
Well, the thing about it is a lot of the kids that bullied me mainly other friends of mine were all, you know, in the, would go to church. It's very, very church oriented, town in Rockdale. And that was one of the things that kind of pushed me away from it to find out more interesting, you know, who are the nice people? Because the church talks a bunch of nice stuff and then their kids are horrible. So that was one of the things. I think it did have something to do with that for me.
All right. Good insights. Hetty writes to us. Hello, Dave. I enjoyed your recent podcast. I believe you and agree that people who are interested in the paranormal probably do get bullied. They were probably considered nerds. I'm a proud nerd then. I love the paranormal and it is my life. I love your podcast. I've had many paranormal experiences and I've had a hard time picking just one. It's when the people doing the bullying are in the paranormal world or circle that you're in. That's very unfortunate. Agreed. You would think that there would be more support. I know, I get that too. If you wish that the ones who picked on you would get their due, that is not a bad thing. Oh, thank you for understanding my karma question. but take faith that karma never loses an address. Karma is powerful, so don't doubt that. It just takes patience. I used to be part of a witch coven, but it was so toxic I left after many years of trying to be the friend. Never again. So yeah, I get it. There are a few experiences that I've had that were profound. I have to share them. One, I saw my pet after she passed. I used to care for guinea pigs. The
Stop it.
No, I'll explain why I'm giggling in a minute. I used to care for guinea pigs. My pet had a tragic accident and I had to put her down. So I sat on my bed crying when she appeared. I've always had the sight. There was all this angelic light. She squeaked looking right at me and vanished. I remained in that spot for a long time. But I never saw her again. We had guinea pigs. I don't know if you've ever had a guinea pig. They're delightful little beings. They just, and they're lazy. They're the equivalent of me. They sleep in a, and live inside a kid's wading pool. That's like three, they could climb out easy, but they're like, all that work. And they just hang out in there, but they whistle.
I didn't know this.
Yes. Yeah. My guinea pig. So like my dad would always go get like celery or lettuce. My dad hates animals. Loves animals. He's always like, ah, we don't want to, but he's always the guy playing with the animals. Yeah. And so he would go up there to get lettuce or something for them. And when you would hear the drawer open in the refrigerator upstairs from downstairs, you'd start hearing. They would start whistling for my dad, and they would just run in circles as he would bring them down. And so we had Shishka Pig, because he always threatened he was going to put it on a shish kebab. And then we had Lucifer, because the pig's colic on top just kept creating these little furry horns. An amazing guinea pig. But when they both passed away, and they passed away within a short time of one another, my dad, who's, again, not an animal guy, you could tell he was kind of devastated. He didn't have his buddies. And there would be times where you're sitting in the kitchen, and you'd move or do something, and all of a sudden you'd start hearing in the basement. And so the little lazy bastards wouldn't move on. They still wanted me to bring them celery. That just tells you about guinea pigs. Here's another story. The shadow person I saw, a shadow person in my apartment, I thought it would be just a normal hot summer night. I hung out with a friend when it appeared, and I'm quite clairvoyant. My friend at the time was clairaudient. He didn't see what I could, but tell I had seen something. Spooked, I told him what happened. Then it was gone. It was just that quick. My third experience is a nightmare of a demon. Unholy stuff. This one was the scariest, the darkest. In my nightmare, it took place in a creepy closet, storage space in my actual apartment. Something came into view, something that was like Pazuzu's long-lost cousin twice removed. It's very detailed. Seriously, though, sheesh, it had no lower body. The upper body was my concern. The eyes were demonic and had a like a snake or shark from some frigid corner of the darkest depths of the ocean of hell. The body was covered in sharp spikes. The demon moved in such a sinister way, I can't even describe it. The body was, the demon was definitely male. Let's just say that. Just looking at this thing was unsettling and rattled me to my core.
Was
but
it a
spoke.
Robot?
No.
Why's it got to be male? Yeah, why can't it be can female? It just be, why they got to make it a male?
Why does it have to have a gender? It
had a penis. So.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. So that's a giveaway, sweet tea. In case you haven't had that talk yet with your folks.
Well, you know.
What did it have?
Girls maybe, have a fajita.
Delicious.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It didn't want me to turn the light on. Okay. I thought, I mean, this thing, this beast entity was horrifying, but something in me fought back. I have no idea if this thing was a visitation or just a dream. I try to tell myself it was just a dream because it makes me feel better. I put gemstones, a pentacle, holy water, and smudge in my waking day down there. I put everything protective I could think of down there. I refuse to be down there at night. Bye-bye for now. And that comes from Hedy Johansson.
I got distracted by the male parts.
I got distracted by fajita. I was like,
so good.
Yeah.
Sizzling.
Hi, Dave and crew. It's Michelle, the sponsor of Conant High School's Paranormal Club. I don't know if you guys heard, but I went out there and actually met with the leader, and then I did a little Zoom conference with them, and they were kind enough to send me a T-shirt. I'll wear that soon, and a couple little stickers. She says, I wanted to share one of my own experiences that occurred. After returning home from one of my worst days of my life, I had a paranormal experience. That day, I had to put my dog down. After coming home with my girl, I went and laid in bed filled with sorrow. However, within a few minutes, I felt the presence of my dog. It was like she was in the room with me. The next thing I know, my bed mattress depressed next to me like someone had just gotten off the bed or just gotten on the bed. Then I felt warmth against my side. Without a doubt, I knew it was my dog laying next to me in spirit like she had always done and letting me know that she was okay. And with that, I felt peace. It's sweet that animals can give us peace in life and in death.
Yeah.
Yep.
Deep answers. Thanks, kids.
I'm very, very in tune with animals. So I'm.
That's nice.
I know. He's not allowed in seven counties because of it.
I know. My puppy never visits me, and that makes me sad, but my dumbass cat always does, and I don't care for it.
Was your cat a bully to the dog?
Nope.
Okay. Maybe the dog just didn't like you.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
Could that be. Would make sense.
Dear Dave and Paranormal 60 News Crew, the other night I was listening to stories you were reading of those who have had encounters with spirits of their fur babies, and you were wanting more stories. Well, I have one I'd like to share with you. In 1986 and in 87, we were living in Ohio over my father-in-law's gas station. We had a white cat named Boo. I never let him run free outside due to where we lived, but would put him on a leash and he would sit on the porch watching people go by. Boo loved kids, and they loved him. When our youngest, who was born in 1986, would have a fever, Boo would get in the baby bed with him and encircle his head with his body, breaking the fever. One evening, Boo wanted to go out, so I let him out on the porch while I was taking care of my four kids. After supper, I had forgotten and went to check on Boo. Dave, I will never forget the sight. Boo had chased something and ended up falling off the stairs and hanged himself. I screamed and went running into the apartment and told my husband. He went and got our beloved Boo and buried him. I blame myself for not checking on him sooner because I could have prevented it. For days, I'd go to bed crying, telling Boo that I was sorry for what had happened. One night, I felt Boo jump on the bed. As he slept on the bed with us at night, and he curled up next to my legs and began to purr, I began to relax and started to drift off to sleep. I suddenly remembered that Boo was gone, but Boo's spirit came back to let me know that it wasn't my fault and stopped blaming myself. I seemed to feel a little better and was able to go to sleep. After that visit, I stopped the blaming and knew that Boo would always be nearby. Your former Ohio Buckeye that was rolled west to California Darkling, Rebecca Becky Codner. Thank you so much, Becky, and sorry for your loss. God, reminds me, my grandfather. My grandmother passed away. Many years later, he started dating this woman, Betty. Betty had a pet Siamese cat that my grandfather couldn't stand that cat, but the cat loved my grandfather. And Betty passed away from an aneurysm, so he was suddenly the caretaker for this cat, Gigi. And one day they were going on a road trip, and he had put Gigi in the car and was getting stuff settled, and we jumped in, started up the car, and took off. And about 20 miles on the road, there's...
No, shut up.
Yeah, it was a Clark Griswold moment.
No!
Yeah. When he had shut the door, she tried to jump out, and it caught the leash. Yeah. So talk about feeling guilty. Holy Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great... Great story there.
Yeah, what are you telling us?
I'm just telling you because she
had to wrap it up here.
Let the cat outside. My poor grandfather. Imagine the poor way this guy felt. We're all about guinea pig ghosts, but not about my grandfather and his tragedy.
Dragging a cat for miles? No, I'm not about that.
It is horrible. It was very Clark Griswold.
Thank you, sweet pea.
You're welcome. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. That's why you always do a walk around. It's a military.
Well, he was in the car. When he got in the car, the cat jumped out. He didn't see the cat dive out. How can you do a walk around from inside?
Maybe
the car?
A little situational awareness. I don't know.
Yeah, check to see if there's a leash hanging out of the door.
Oh, screw you. You make it through World War II. And let me.
No, thank you.
That he didn't like anyone.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Your freedom is because of my grandfather. Don't you judge him in his cat killing ways. It is brutal. Hey, I want to thank everybody that stories. Thanks for being here tonight. Sorry if I wasn't on my A game, but hopefully you guys had a good time with our little crew here, our reduced crew. Chachi is off, the Colonel's off. Hopefully they'll be back with us Wednesday. If not, we'll just continue on with whoever shows up. I'll be here. In my contract. Sweet tea, she's on home arrest, so she has no choice.
And Greg,
I got to be honest with you. The minute April 1st rolls around, I'm afraid we're not going to see Greg anymore.
He's got nothing to do. He'll be here.
No, he'll have so much to do. He'll be so busy doing stuff and junk.
God, she knows me so well.
Yeah. I know. You know what?
What's that?
I've got a book out called Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness, and it is 15 of my favorite true supernatural stories, a couple that happened to me and many that have happened to others that they've related and shared with me. The book is out and available right now at Amazon.com, and if you don't want the Amazon.com version, you can order a signed copy from me by going to Paranormal60.com. Scroll down the front page, you'll find the book, and right now we have a twofer deal basically going on. Well, not twofer, but you get a discount. You can get my first book, The Other Side, and you can get my new book, Theater of the Mind, both of them autographed for $40 plus shipping and handling. So you save about $10 doing it that way.
Man, I love the books from the website so much more than Amazon. Amazon is gross.
Unless you live in a foreign country, then you want to get it from Amazon. Right,
but if you're in the U.S., come on. Amazon is gross.
That is true. All right, so listen, stay tuned after the theme, and we're going to play El Cordova's song again about Roswell. Thank you, too, for showing up tonight and being here with me, giving me a little mental respite. Yeah.
Yay.
I'm always here for you, Dane.
Thanks,
no,
buddy.
No, I am.
Are you?
Have a good week, folks. I'll see you again back here next Monday with a brand new episode of Paranormal 60. And tomorrow, join me on Scotty Davis's TikTok channel. I'll be doing a live 1-hour TikTok with Scotty Davis. So find him, Scott Davis Medium, I think it is, on TikTok. That's tomorrow. And I'll be back next week with more of the best in paranormal programming. This is the Paranormal 60.
Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me, with poltergeist and ghosts and booze and UAVs. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts to snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dreaming the aliens are taking me away. I'm gonna wake up till sometime late on Saturday. It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Shachi and the Colonel and the Paranormal Detective, always traitors, copy and they all won't be corrected. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Schrader's on. Schrader's on. Wednesday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Now one day Dave might even put me on his show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement, man, I live down there, I know. It's Wednesday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Schrader's on. Words is hard.
Windy, windy day here in Roswell. So our van has broken down. This is day 10 of Tony and I being stuck in Roswell, New Mexico, where, of course, the famous incident happened with the UFO back in 1947. We've had plenty of time to learn about that incident, to see the sights around the town, tons of aliens everywhere. I actually love it here. I've enjoyed my 10 days. We're on our way out. Before we go, I just wanted to share with you a song that we wrote called Roswell while we were here. I hope you enjoy it.
Back in 47, in the first week of July, there was lightning in the desert and explosions in the sky. An unknown flying object came a crashing to the earth, and a cattleman named Brazel found the wreckage in the dirt. Gathered up some scraps and then he brought them into town. And the people gazed in wonder at the marvel he had found. They called the county sheriff and they called the Air Force Base. They called the DOD and then they called the CIA. It's big news today out in Roswell. That sleepy New Mexico town. Major Marcel, what can you tell us about Roswell? Well, the Roswell Army Airfield sent their finest personnel. A rank and file officer was a young Major Marcel. The
pager told his story and it echoed around the globe. A flying saucer captured out in old New Mexico. But the orders came from Washington, materials were changed. The town was hushed to silence and Mac Brazel was detained. They scooped up all the evidence and flew it to Fort Worth. Staged a couple photos and the headlines were reversed. There's nothing to see here in Roswell, just a torn up old weather balloon. And Major Marcel was mistaken as well about Roswell. On in Roswell, but the story still persists. Rumors turn to theories, and then theories turn to myth. But to his dying day, the major swore on all he had. There's no way in hell the thing that fell was made by human hands. So the mystery lives on out in Roswell, that creepy New Mexico town. Major Marcel, what couldn't you tell us about Rob?